to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Fear, intimidation, secrecy. Former and current employees of the Kansas City Chiefs say those words begin to describe management styles out at Arrowhead Stadium. And they say it doesn't work. Working for the Chiefs has become an unhappy proposition, and the high staff turnover reflects it. Today we'll talk to Kent Babb. He's a sports writer for The Star who wrote that big front-page story Sunday about high anxiety at Arrowhead. Later on this hour, Governor Jay Nixon is proposing big cuts to higher education in Missouri next year as a way to balance the next state budget. Other cuts are planned, too. Lawmakers, meantime, will be preoccupied with one issue they weren't expecting this year, and that's redistricting. The state Supreme Court ruled yesterday on state, Senate, and congressional boundary lines, and the judges want more work done. But first up, what it's like to work for the Kansas City Chiefs. With us is Star sports writer Kent Babb, who's covering this story. And Kent, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Nice to have you. How did you get started reporting on this story?
Well, I mean, it probably really started, you know, a couple years ago when I started noticing some changes in employee behavior. And, you know, I just began making some mental notes and what's causing this and, you know, why are people acting so differently around here? And, you know, I didn't really start reporting it until, you know, probably before the season. I started hearing some rumors and, you know, some people talking about that Todd Haley, the coach, and Scott Pioli, the general manager, had you know, the relationship, which used to be terrific, had deteriorated. And, you know, so I started paying really close attention to those things and how people acted around Haley, around Pioli, you know, when they were together, what happened there. And then when Todd Haley came up to me on that Thursday in December, December 8th, I believe it was, to tell me that he thought his cell phone was bugged, you bet I started paying attention. And so once he got fired 4 days later, I started hitting it really hard and talking to as many people as I possibly could. And I just noticed there was a lot of the same things being told to me.
Let me get this right. He walked up to you, the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, to the Star sports writer covering the team, and said to you he thinks his cell phone is being bugged.
He thought that it had been tampered with. He came up to me, and you know, he had a pretty stressful week. And around the same time, a reporter here in Kansas City said that he had had a leak from an organization source to say that Todd Haley had blown off team meetings in Chicago the week before when they went to Chicago to play. You know, Todd, I mean, at least based on what my interpretation of it was, I mean, he seemed a little frazzled and, you know, came up to me and clearly wanted to say something to me, but he didn't feel comfortable telling me in that environment, which was unusual. I mean, that's his more or less home turf. And so he's kind of ducking in and out here, and I'm just kind of following him wherever he goes. And then we stop in the Dawson conference room right outside the PR office. And he says, I need to talk to you, but it'll be from a number you don't know. I feel like my phone's been tampered with. And just an astonishing scene, and I went immediately back to my computer and wrote it down, and that's what became the lead of that story.
Did he ever talk to you for this story?
No. I reached out to him several times, and every time I've tried to talk to him, you know, right after he got fired and the weeks after he's gotten fired, I have not heard back from him.
I'm just wondering if you can imagine a situation anywhere in the NFL or in professional sports where the head coach of a team is worried that his phones are being tapped, perhaps by management at the team he's working for.
Or any job for that matter. I mean, and this is a very high-profile, high-stress job in professional sports. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, this is an NFL head coach. And, you know, if he believes that, I mean, and the paranoia, the anxiety that I wrote about in Sunday's paper, that means it goes all the way up to the top. And that's why it was so extraordinary to me that the head coach, you know, not the secondary coach or, you know, somebody who works in the ticket office, the head coach of an NFL team, one of 32 in the world, believes such a thing. You know, that was just astonishing.
We're talking to sports writer Kent Babb from the Kansas City Star. What's been the reaction out at Arrowhead, Kent, to what you reported on Sunday?
I haven't heard anything from the Chiefs right now. You know, I've covered them for four full seasons and parts of five, and I've had a terrific working relationship with, you know, everybody I've come across, and you know, Scott Pioli included. I mean, I like Scott. I think he's a terrific guy. I think he's incredibly bright. I'm sure I'll speak with these people at some point. It seems like on both sides they're just trying to, you know, let this play out a little bit and sort of see what the reaction is. But as of right now, I haven't heard anything.
How about reactions from fans and from readers of the newspaper?
It's split among some kind of lines. I mean, the sort of the hardcore fans, they don't believe it. I mean, they don't believe anything like this could possibly happen. And, you know, they are some incredible claims for sure, and I'll admit that. And you know, I think the majority, the overwhelming majority of fans even, I mean, just fans in general, are surprised and disappointed that their hometown team, historic and proud franchise, would behave this way, would, you know, treat employees this way, and that employees would say that, you know, this is a very difficult and stressful place to work, where, you know, somebody said in the story that, you know, you better talk to somebody because you'll go crazy. You know, that's, I think people are surprised not only that what a lot of people's dream job would be working for a professional sports team, but not only that, their hometown Chiefs, a team a lot of these people have followed for decades, you know, this is the way, you know, they believe they conduct business, and this is the way former employees say they behave. And so I think it's disappointing and surprising for quite a few people. And, you know, that I think that's pretty resounding.
In fairness, the owner of the team, Clark Hunt, says it's not true.
Right. As far as the tampering and surveillance and monitoring phone calls and, you know, having bugs in the wall, things like that, Clark, Mark Donovan, the team president, the Chiefs as a whole adamantly deny that. And, you know, it's a good point to bring that out because, you know, it is certainly a highly unusual thing that Todd Haley claimed and what some of these other people are saying could be true. But the Chiefs say, and, you know, I can say I didn't find any evidence of this, but they certainly have adamantly denied that any of this is true. And and I even spoke with the NFL this morning, and they said that they haven't had any money come to them. So it appears that as of now there will not be an investigation.
But what you did find, though, is that the paranoia that you encountered firsthand with the former head coach of the team extended in many levels of the organization, throughout the organization in many ways, right?
Right, and I think that's really the thesis statement of this piece is that it's not really what's true or not. I mean, obviously the claims and if there was truth in those is unbelievably extraordinary. But the fact that people believe this could be true, that this is an environment that breeds such a work culture, such, you know, an attitude change and such paranoia that people think that this could be true and they fear for their jobs and feel like, I mean, they modify their behavior to the point that they walk outside to have face-to-face conversations or say, you know, we'll meet at lunch and let's take separate cars and leave at separate times in order to go have lunch together. To me, I mean, there's been some behavior modification there that suggests that enough people believe this that is troubling.
What was behind that? The folks who told you they go in separate cars to go to lunch, Kent, they did that because why?
The folks I talked to who backed that part of the story up said that they felt they were being watched, and if they, you know, one of the impressions they got, and this is another one that the Chiefs have denied, you know, by saying that they built a cafeteria and they encourage fraternization among people from other departments. But the folks I talked to, the impression they got was they should not be socializing with people who were not in their department. So player development person or, you know, ticket salesperson shouldn't be fraternizing or going to lunch with scout or, you know, PR person, for instance. You know, they believed that was a no-no. And so, you know, I had somebody tell me who was fairly high up in the organization that they used to go to lunch with folks. And if it was somebody the Chiefs, they believed the Chiefs didn't want them going out with, they would hear about it. And, you know, there are not any visible cameras outside in the parking lot. And, you know, but somehow they believed that the Chiefs knew. And so they thought that they would just go in separate cars. And so that way they couldn't track them.
And Kent, top management of the Chiefs would be concerned about employees from different departments going to lunch together because why? What could possibly be the motive there?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. I can't speculate on what that would be. I mean, true or imagined, I have no idea what that issue would be. I mean, other than, you know, they just don't want proprietary information. I mean, obviously secrecy is very high on the list of the Chiefs' priorities these days, and, you know, as evidenced by some of the measures they take. And so that'd be my only guess, but it's just a guess.
Again, we're visiting with Kent Babb. He's a sports writer for The Star who broke the big story Sunday in the Kansas City Star about secrecy, intimidation, paranoia even among employees working out for the Kansas City Chiefs at One Arrowhead Drive. Kent, are there other professional football teams or even, I guess, teams from any sport that are operated like this? I guess what I'm wondering is how unusual are the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, I think it's unusual. Not having covered any other professional NFL team, I couldn't speak on, you know, any expertise for that matter. But I've talked to plenty of people who have worked for other NFL teams, and they say that this is very unusual, that this is extraordinary and unique. But I'll say, you know, secrecy and, you know, just, you know, sort of unusual behavior and control, I mean, these are hallmarks of the NFL today in professional sports. And, you know, micromanaging executives, that's nothing unique to Kansas City by any means. I mean, that's the way it is in a lot of college teams even. And that's part of our culture these days. And, you know, is it right? I don't know. I mean, that's not for me to decide. But it is prevalent. I don't know that it's this prevalent.
Certainly, though, Scott Pioli, the general manager of the team, he came from another team that was known for being, accused once of spying on other teams to get pick up signals on the sidelines. That's the New England Patriots. Tell us about the Patriots and the culture from which Scott Pioli came from.
It's very secretive. I mean, that's probably priority number one, that you have to protect proprietary information. And, you know, that's been, you know, sort of a hallmark of that organization for as long as Bill Belichick, the head coach, and really one of the most well-known figures in professional sports, has been there. They've won 3 Super Bowls doing it an unusual way, but it's a way that clearly works for them. And you know, the Patriot way, which has sort of been what has been come to be known, has spawned plenty of other people who have gone and tried to form organizations throughout the NFL. Most of those have not worked. Coaches, executives, they just haven't worked because a lot of these teams, a lot of these people who have come from this lineage want to just copy it exactly. And, you know, Eric Mangini, who was the coach for the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns, told me, this is a month and a half ago and had nothing to do with the story, that he tried to do this with the Jets and it was a mistake, that you can't just copy this exactly. You know, you alienate media, players, other coaches, things to that effect. And it's just sort of a different thing. It works, and I think it's overlooked. Now, I'm certainly not saying that the Patriots, other than that event in 2007 where they videotaped the jet signals, I don't think they're doing anything underhanded. I think it's just their way of conducting business. But it works there because they've won 3 Super Bowls. I mean, they could win
maybe
the Super Bowl
this year.
Right,
yeah.
And, you know, but it hasn't worked anywhere else. And so when you bring that to, say, Kansas City, it is an unbelievable culture shock, and a lot of people disagree with it.
You know, tell us about that incident in 2007 that involved the Patriots videotaping the sidelines there, because Pioli was in New England at the time that came down.
Right. There was a video assistant for the Patriots that secretly videotaped signals, sideline signals, you know, how plays are called in from the sideline to the players. Videotape these from a far-off location. The NFL caught wind of it. I mean, that's a big no-no. That you just do not do that. That's cheating. And the NFL came down very hard on that. You know, it's come to be known as Spygate, and you know, it's just one of those things that everybody throughout the NFL community knows about and knows it's just a serious, you can't do this. And Bill Belichick, who is a close friend and Scott Pioli's mentor, was fined $500,000, which is the maximum fine allowed by the NFL for his role in this. And so it was a pretty big black eye for the NFL. And, you know, one of the premier franchises in the league was accused and ultimately proved that it cheated to try to win a ball game.
You know, Ken, we're sitting here talking about secrecy in professional football teams. Why such a high level of secrecy? We're talking about sports, football.
Yeah.
What's so secret about it?
Well, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, these are billion-dollar corporations.
Sure, of course.
I mean, these are huge, high-dollar companies, and you know, I wish it was as innocent as just sports. And a lot of times, I have to remind myself that it's just not. I mean, these are people who make millions and millions of dollars to do this, and you know, these jobs don't last very long unless you're successful. And you know, so a lot of people believe, and it, partly because of the example the Patriots set, you know, for good or bad, that this is the way you do it, that this works. You know, Alabama, the University of Alabama, which just won the national championship, Nick Saban, who's a Bill Belichick protege, you know, he operates much the same way. I mean, there's a lot of secrecy around Alabama.
And the secrecy is aimed at what? What are you trying to safeguard?
It's trying to safeguard against people, basically trying to safeguard against people doing what the Patriots did to the Jets. If I know what your signals are or what play you're going to call, I know how to stop it. Or if I know what the first 7 offensive plays you're going to call in this ball game are going to be, you know, I can set my team up in a way to stop it and prevent you from scoring and all that. So that's what it's designed to accomplish. But these teams just take extraordinary measures to prevent this, to the tune of executives for the Kansas City Chiefs are not allowed to look out their window and watch practice. I mean, it's unbelievable.
You're taking my next question. This level of secrecy that you wrote about here even extended to Chiefs employees being forced to close their office blinds so what they couldn't look out over the practice field, right?
Right.
And the idea there was that you didn't want even executives from your own team knowing what plays their team might be running on Sunday.
Right. Even the team president. The team president.
The team president.
is no exception, and he has to keep his window shade drawn. Now, Mark Donovan, the Chiefs president, said it's about consistency. He doesn't want to give the impression that he can be trusted and, you know, a vice president or sales representative cannot be trusted. You know, I agree with that and understand that in principle, but it certainly says something that they have to keep window shades drawn, that people in-house, people on their team, people that, you know, presumably are very loyal to this cause, you know, can't even watch practice. So, I mean, if there's a field goal practice being done, you know, they don't want even the team president watching this because theoretically they could tell somebody for the Bengals or the Chargers. And to me, these are extraordinary lengths.
It is extraordinary. And it's also different from what it was prior to the Pioli regime coming aboard, right? The shades weren't drawn in under the Carl Peterson era, was it?
Well, it's a little bit different. They've got the new practice facility there, which overlooks the practice field. They used to occasionally practice in Arrowhead Stadium, and only a handful of people, Carl, Marty Schottenheimer, had windows overlooking the field. The practice facility they're in now, the office building, is very new. I mean, Scott Pioli basically moved in when it was finished, and you know, so this here is a new concept that, you know, you can't watch practices. But Carl,
it's hard to imagine in the Peterson.
Well,
era, though, right?
Carl was secretive. I mean, and again, I mean that's nothing unusual in the NFL. But to go to these lengths, I think, is unusual.
Non-football employees, including those who had worked for the team for decades, were told they weren't even allowed to walk on certain floors in certain areas of the team's facility. Even employees who had worked for the team for decades, Ken.
These are executives. I mean, these aren't, you know, entry-level or intern people. I mean, these are executives who have been with the team for a decade or more, you know, a couple of decades in some cases. And, you know, again, you know, some of the people who had worked there for a long time told me that, you know, they felt if they went in a certain part of the stadium, somehow the Chiefs knew, you know, and they would say that, and they would say, well, I know where you were at 4:30, for instance, and, you know, how do you know that? There aren't cameras there. And, you know, so it's certainly a different kind of atmosphere.
All this went so far as to lead to certain conclusions among employees, and one of them was some employees consider all this, the atmosphere, the culture out at One Arrowhead, as being tantamount to mental abuse. Does that strike you as hyperbole, or is it possible that that could accurately describe the situation out there?
It probably sounds a little hyperbolic when you first hear it, but, you know, I heard that from quite a few people, you know, and so it's one of those things where, you know, again, whether it's real or imagined, if you hear these things from enough people, then you begin to pay attention. And, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, I'm certainly not a mental health professional to know what, you know, what even really defines mental abuse. But, you know, these, again, are high-ranking people who are very good at their jobs and, you know, have worked for the Chiefs for a number of years, who believe that, you know, this is not just a very tough and demanding management style, but it bleeds into the micromanaging, you know, sort of a cruelty area of that. And so, these are certainly big claims that are being made. But, you know, quite a few people believe that.
Again, we're talking about the culture involved in working for the Kansas City Chiefs with Kent Babb. He's a sports writer for the Kansas City Star, who wrote a big front page story about all of this in Sunday's newspaper. Just how much turnover has there been, Kent, inside the Kansas City Chiefs in recent years?
More than half overall. I mean, since 2008, which is when I looked at the team's media guide, which is, it's got a staff roster, every employee that works for the team. And this doesn't include players or coaches, which is a particularly high turnover area in football, but just regular rank and file people. About 55 to 57%. I forget, but it's certainly more than half of the entire organization has been overturned. And you know, the more important or more impressive thing to me was the senior staff of 19 executives, or I'll say of 19 vice presidents and directors. 16 of those are no longer in their jobs, and you know, one has been reassigned, but you know, three of them are the only ones that remain in the jobs they had in 2008, and you know, that's 85%. I mean, so only 15% of the folks who were in those jobs in 2008 are still in them, and you know, that's to me, that's a pretty telling statistic.
Is that unusual when you have a wholesale regime change, as we had when Pioli came in, brought in a new head coach? Is that par for the course, or a little bit high?
Change is going to come with an organizational change, an organizational shift. I mean, that's nothing unusual. And staff turnover is par for the course. You know, I looked at three other teams that changed over, like the Chiefs in 2009, and none of these teams, Denver, Seattle, and another one that I forget and I'll think of in a second. But,
yeah, I remember it too.
Tampa Bay was the other one, but they had a lot of turnover, but they mostly left senior staff untouched. I mean, they didn't, a few, sure. I mean, there were two or three or five even of their senior staff were replaced, but certainly not to the level of 16 out of 19 like the Chiefs have done.
And a cynic might say that those teams you decided haven't won a whole lot of games.
Well, Denver just made it to the playoffs.
Well, barely.
Right, that's true. And Atlanta's another one, which from another GM from the Patriots lineage, Thomas Dimitroff, his team was in the playoffs, and they haven't really messed with senior staff a whole lot either.
There's another anecdote you told in this story, Kent, about a candy wrapper found in a back stairwell. Tell us about that.
During Scott Pioli's first year here, and let me preface this by saying that this team was in shambles. I mean, a lot of changes needed to be made. I mean, they were coming off a 2-14 season. You know, there was a lot of cronyism involved with the Chiefs, and a lot of people who I don't believe were working probably as hard as they needed to be. Now, I don't think it's as across the board as what the Chiefs have said, but when Scott Pioli came here, and I've quoted him in the story, and it was a theme we heard a lot in 2009 that they wanted to change the culture, change the attitude at Arrowhead Stadium, and he noticed a candy wrapper in a back stairwell that most people don't even go up. Just noticed it kind of crinkled up over in a corner and said, okay, well, I'm going to leave it there and see how long it takes to be picked up. It lasted about a week. Nobody picked it up for about a week, and so he gave it to Mark Donovan, who's now the president. He was the COO at the time, and said, look, tell your department heads that this is what I'm talking about, that this is a big deal around here now, that you have to pay attention to details, and you have to pick these things up and be a leader and not wait for somebody to pick it up. And some people thought it was over the top. Some people who were in that department heads meeting, some people, I think sort of understood the message and principle that you have to be detail oriented. But that's sort of become one of the things in the story that people have said, so this is the thing that Scott Pioli is concerning himself with. And again, I understand it in principle. I understand what he's trying to do there. But, quite a few people are sort of wondering why this is the kind of thing that's occupying his time.
How hard was it, Kent, for you to get former employees or even current employees of the Chiefs to talk to you for this story?
Unbelievably easy,
really,
to be honest. Because when I started working on this story, I remember thinking I'm going to get hung up on a lot. People are not going to want to talk about this, regardless of what their feelings were. And my batting average was incredibly high in trying to get people to tell me their experiences. I only had maybe a handful of people say no thanks. I'm just not going to talk about that. And people were very willing to talk to me about what this environment is like out at Arrowhead Stadium.
And so these themes of fear, intimidation, they really resonated throughout most or all of these interviews.
I talked to more than 24 people for this, and there were some. I mean, the former equipment manager, Mike Davidson, who spent 22 years with the Chiefs, he said that he didn't really notice any of this difficult behavior at all, but he was in the extreme minority. And, of the more than 24, I would say, 90% at least told me some tales of some serious tense times and some things that they questioned and just difficult environment to the point where they were afraid that they would get yelled at just for going to work. And, for, whatever, there was a feeling of negativity around there. And that was just different from what these people were used to.
So despite all this, promise me one thing, they're going to do better next year, right?
Well, I think that's the idea. And I do think that this team is trending upward. I really do. I think this team is going to be in good shape. And, for the Chiefs fans listening, I think I'm going to pick them to win the division next year. I think they got a lot of talent. And, we'll see if they can put this thing together.
Kent, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you, Steve.
That's Kent Babb, sports writer for the Kansas City Star, about his big story in the paper last Sunday about fear and intimidation at One Arrowhead Drive. Coming up, a look at the Missouri legislature and Governor Jay Nixon's State of the State message last night. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.